We finished our discussion by posing some fundamental questions about the death of Jesus. Did he really die? One of our listeners seemed to think that only the body of Jesus died. Now, if Jesus himself did not die, can we claim that he died for our sins? Then there's another question. If Jesus died, could he have been preaching to spirits in prison while he was dead? Our investigation of the great issues of life and death has brought us to that interesting section of Scripture penned by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3, verses 18 and forward. Let me remind you of those intriguing verses. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:18, and the verses following, "For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who were once disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water." I think if Peter had been taking a writing course, his teacher might have asked him to shorten his sentences a little. But Peter had so much he wanted us to understand that he piled information on information in order to communicate everything we need to hear. So let's break this passage down into bite-sized pieces and see what Peter was talking about. First, in verse 18 of 1 Peter 3, we learn here that Christ died. I must point out to you that it was Christ, the whole person, who died, not just the body of Christ, but Christ himself. You see, in the Bible, people are not people at all unless they have bodies. People are identified by their bodies, in other words. Now, unfortunately, the situation is different if you're a student of Greek philosophy. The Greeks thought that the body was really a nuisance and a hindrance. So they taught that the real self is not the body, but an invisible, immortal soul or spirit which could go on living as the conscious you after your death. Now, many scholars recognize that this Greek way of thinking about bodies and separable souls or spirits has often confused the way Bible readers study the Scriptures. When the Bible speaks of souls, it often means what we call a person or an individual. Right here in the context of the passage we're studying, there's a good example of what a soul is in the Bible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, and you will find that eight souls survived the flood. Now, that, of course, did not mean disembodied souls, but ordinary living human beings. Eight souls, or persons, were rescued from the flood which destroyed the world. So now back to 1 Peter 3:18. Christ, the whole person, died, once for all. That's to say, his crucifixion was an unrepeatable event because it paid in full for our sins. Then Peter says that the just or righteous Jesus died for us who are not righteous. A righteous person, of course, is one who serves God and is properly instructed from God's word about what it means to please God. He is one who meditates on the word of God day and night and who constantly seeks the will of God in his life. Now, Jesus was that sort of person, a sinless man who is a model for all Christians. Peter then tells us what the purpose of Jesus' death was. It was to bring us to God. That's to say, to reconcile us to God. We were all enemies of God because of our failure to meet his standards, and so Jesus opened the way for us to return to God through Jesus, so that the paradise lost by Adam can eventually be restored on earth. Peter says that Jesus was put to death in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Simply that as a human being, flesh and blood, he was killed, put to death. And what happened to him after that? Peter says that he was, and I quote, "made alive in the Spirit." Now, here we must be most careful. You may be tempted to think that Jesus survived death as a disembodied spirit, but that's not what this phrase implies. Now, how shall we go about finding out what "made alive in the Spirit" really means? We must compare the words "made alive in the Spirit" with the other places where they occur in the Bible. That's how any document is analyzed. We compare the various passages where the same word or words occur. That's a golden rule in all Bible study. Now, to be made alive in the Spirit is to be resurrected from the dead. Look, for example, at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. Paul there says that if we are like Adam, sinners, that is, we must die. But if we're like Christ, or in Christ, we shall all be made alive. Ah, there's that expression, made alive. And what does it mean? We read in 1 Corinthians 15, 23, We shall all be made alive at Christ's coming. All the Christians, that is, will be resurrected at Christ's coming. We shall be made alive, brought back from the dead. Resurrection of the dead is what the whole of 1 Corinthians 15 is about. And in verse 36 of this same chapter, you will see that Paul is still talking about our future resurrection. He expects us to come alive, just like a seed springs to life from the ground. Now, did Jesus himself use this expression, made alive? He certainly did. In John 5:21, Jesus was speaking of the resurrection in the future. He said that the Father raises the dead and gives them life. So that's what's meant by being made alive. It means to be raised from the dead. David in the Psalms, in Psalm 71 verse 20, spoke of resurrection when he said that God will make him alive again and bring him up again from the depths of the earth. He was talking about resurrection. Listen to the wonderful words of Hannah in her song in 1 Samuel 2 verses 6 and 7. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol, the world of the dead, and raises up. There we have exactly the same word, to make alive, and it means to bring someone back from the grave or the world of the dead. But there's yet another example in the beautiful passage in Hosea 6:2. We find Israel hoping that God will make them alive after 2 days. There's a reference here also to the resurrection of Jesus, who was made alive after 2 days on the third day. So it's quite clear what Peter meant when he said that Jesus was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. Jesus was resurrected to become a spiritual being, having a body animated and driven by spirit, just as we one day hope to have. Now let's see what Jesus did after he was raised from the dead on the third day. Peter reports that Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now who were these? A lot of unnecessary confusion has arisen over this passage. What we need to do is to see what a spirit is in the Bible. In Luke 13:11, there's the story of a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. Verse 16 says that Satan had bound her. Jesus was able to make her walk normally again. Imagine her joy. But my point is that a spirit in the Bible often means a demon spirit or an evil spirit. So in Luke 24:37, the disciples were frightened because they thought they were seeing a spirit. This does not mean a human being, of course, but a supernatural being. And in Acts 23, verse 9, we learn that the Sadducees do not believe that there is such a thing as an angel or a spirit. So you see, a spirit is a being not of this natural human order, but an angel or a demon. And Hebrews 1:14 speaks of angels as ministering spirits. Now we're ready to see what Peter meant when he said that Jesus went after his resurrection to preach to spirits in prison. Spirits in prison are fallen angels, those angels which Peter mentioned again in 2 Peter 2, verse 4, as angels who had sinned. But now Peter in 1 Peter 3:20 tells us more about those sinning angels. They were sinning spirits or angels who had been disobedient at the time before the flood when Noah was constructing the ark. And finally, Peter tells us that 8 souls, that is 8 human persons, were brought safely through the water at the time of the flood. All that may seem quite a mouthful, but if we read carefully, the story is clear. After Jesus had been resurrected on the third day, he went in his new form as a person with an immortal spiritual body to proclaim his victory over death. The ones he preached to were not human beings at all. They were fallen, disobedient spirits. These fallen supernatural beings were instrumental in orchestrating the extreme wickedness which prevailed on the earth before the flood. You can read the account of those fallen angels and what they did in Genesis chapter 6. And Jesus' brother Jude also refers to those extraordinary events in Jude verse 6. Jude speaks there of sexual aberrations and of how these brought the wrath of God on a godless society. There are warnings here for our own civilizations in the 20th century. Jesus, you remember, said that conditions on the earth before his second coming would be very much like the terrible state of the world just before the flood. Here are the words of Jesus. He said this, "The coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. As in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. So it will be when the Son of Man comes." So let us summarize. When Peter speaks of Jesus being made alive in the Spirit, he is referring to his resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus, that is, after 3 days, the 3 days he spent dead in the grave. Jesus himself, in Matthew 12:40, predicted that he would be there in the grave 3 days, in the heart of the earth, just as Jonah had been. Jonah 2 verse 3 cried out to God from what he called the depth of Sheol, or the world of dead. The fish's belly was, of course, not literally where all the dead are, but Jesus saw a direct parallel between his own death and the way Jonah described his own terrible adventure in the belly of a large fish. There are two important points to grasp from this passage of Scripture. Firstly, Jesus did not preach to anyone while he was dead in the world of the dead. He preached only after his resurrection from the dead. Secondly, his preaching was not for the benefit of dead human beings. It was wicked angels in prison to whom Jesus preached. I mention all this today because there's a popular idea around that Jesus actually spoke to the dead while he himself was dead. But that's to confuse death with life. The whole thrust of our programs has been to try to clear up that confusion. As one modern writer says, when you're dead, according to the Bible, you're 100% dead, all of you. Resurrection of the whole person from the grave is the only solution to death. And God has promised to raise the Christian dead when Jesus comes back. Until then, the dead remain dead, sleeping the sleep of death, as David did and still does, as he said in Psalm 13, verse 3. Once we see that death in the Bible really means death, and not life in another place, we shall find many passages becoming clearer to us. To understand that man is a soul, a living being, not that he's a body with an immortal soul, is a great key to successful Bible study. That is one of the main purposes of our study in these programs. It may be that some of this material is new to you. We would like to send you some free literature for your own personal study. Contact us if you'd like to have this. Until next time, may God bless you in your pursuit of answers to the great questions of life and death.